Good evening, everyone, and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Questions and Answers time for a Friday evening. These broadcasts are live every Friday at about 9:30 p.m. Eastern, and this program is designed to interact with you with your questions and comments related to the Bible, and we'll try to respond as well as possible by going to the Bible. If you're calling us by phone with your questions or comments, dial 209-647-1600 and enter the access code 181610, followed by the pound key, which gets you into conference. Then press star 6 and then 1. If you're using Skype, press the free conference call button, then press the dial pad button and enter access code 181610 and press your pound key. And to get in line to ask a question, press star 6 and 1. And if you're using Paltalk, you simply go to eBible Fellowship's room, and once inside the room, you can raise your hand, and when you're asked to, you can post your question. And so, with our Bibles at the ready, it's now time to turn things over to our speaker for this Friday evening questions and answers time and say hello to Chris McCann. Good evening, Chris.
Good evening, everyone, once again, and welcome to our Friday night question and answer. I would like to invite everyone to share. If you have a question or if you'd like to make a comment, you're welcome and encouraged to share by raising your hand and contacting us in the ways that were just outlined. And I'll try to respond as much as possible by turning to the Bible. And, of course, the Bible is the place we want to go to find our answers. We won't find them anywhere else, and we shouldn't be looking anywhere else, so we're at least looking in the proper place, even though perhaps we won't always be able to find the answer. But it's a lot of the battle going in the right direction by turning to the Bible and not confessions or creeds or denominational stances or what a theologian says or anything like that. But at this point, we're going to open up the room and let's go to the first person on the phones. Welcome to Friday Night Question and Answer.
Good evening, Chris.
Good evening.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you very well. Please go ahead.
1 Corinthians 14, verse 33.
Okay, 1 Corinthians 14, 33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints.
My question regarding this verse here, it says, as in all churches of the saints. When it says churches, can you expound on that?
Well,
it says churches of saints. So
yeah.
It seems like that's believers, all believers.
Well, that's interesting that you're pointing that out. I never really noticed that part of the verse before. But we can know that that this principle, God is not the author of confusion, it applied during the church age, and 1 Corinthians is an epistle that has a lot of application to the churches. And it also applies today. This is simply a biblical principle that God does not speak as the saying goes, out of both sides of his mouth. He does not say one thing and then contradict himself in another time. He is very consistent. That's the nature of the Bible. The Bible has perfect harmony, and we cannot always discover it. We're stumped from time to time, and that's why we have to study, and we have to search the Scriptures and compare Scripture with Scripture, praying for wisdom, and sometimes we can't perfectly discover things that completely and totally harmonize, and so we know we haven't exactly found the truth yet. We might be on the trail, but we haven't exactly found it. And so we can go to God and say, you know, this is a good thing to bring up to the Lord. Lord, I'm confused. And can you help me? You know, I remember, especially over the last year and a half, I'm sure others here maybe have had similar feelings, but when things did not occur as I had thought they would after May 21, for several weeks, I was very confused. And also after Purim, I was confused because I had thought, well, here's what the Bible's teaching. Here very clearly is what's going to happen. And it didn't happen that way. And then all of a sudden, everything seemed just not to make sense. How everything locked in so tightly and perfectly concerning the date of May 21, and it should have happened. Why didn't it happen? And you know, I see other people that have also, who also were confused and have remained confused, and their confusion seems to be getting worse. And the mercy of God was to open up some information regarding May 21 that has eased the confusion. It has provided answers. And that's how we can know, again, we're on the trail of truth or we found truth. When things begin to harmonize and there's no longer contradictions and confusion, it begins to go away. And so when we find that, oh, the answer was God did bring the day of judgment, it was a spiritual judgment. And that's why all the information so solidly locked into place and pointed to that date, because that was the date and it was judgment day. That's why God had this broadcast to all the world and in an unprecedented manner. It doesn't make any sense otherwise that he would use the Ministry of Family Radio that he had built up himself and so carefully protected and safeguarded for 50 years, making sure that they took step after step in the right direction. And then some want us to believe, oh, they just were completely false and liars, and it's all just mass confusion. No, the answer is in the Bible, in Jeremiah 25. That really has helped a lot, that God first gave the cup to the church and now he's given the cup to the world, and it's the same cup. It's a spiritual judgment. If the Bible did not speak of spiritual judgments, then we wouldn't know what to do. I would be with everyone saying, well, we were all wrong. But it so happens the Bible describes a spiritual judgment in the Garden of Eden. The Bible describes a spiritual judgment with Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Bible describes a spiritual judgment upon the churches and congregations during the judgment which begins at the house of God. Those are three of the most major judgments in all the Bible. Can anyone name another major judgment? Yes, we have battles and things like that, but these are the three biggest, most major judgments in all the Bible, and each one is a spiritual judgment. So why would we think it preposterous of an idea that God has brought about a spiritual judgment on the world? It's not preposterous. It's very much a real possibility, a genuine possibility that many are refusing to check out, and we can only hope that some of those who are refusing to check it out, they're in confusion, and that's why, and hope that it's not because that God has finally reached an area where their pride will not let them bow before the word of God. You know, God did that repeatedly throughout the Great Tribulation. He would bring up a doctrine that finally someone who had stuck with the truth and followed family radio, for instance, and its teachings for many years would say, oh, no, I won't go. I won't take that step and say the church age is over. I won't take that step and say that there's no hell, that God annihilates people, or that Christ died before the foundation of the world. Their pride stopped them. And now God has raised up the one that certainly will touch the heart of pride in everyone who is not saved. No one will believe this because spiritual judgments, well, that's something you can't see. And those, nobody could see it on the church, and so many pulled back, and no one can see it on the world. And I'm sure this is the final test that will cause many to pull back. But thank you for that verse. And let's go to the next person. Welcome to Friday Night Question and Answer.
Good evening, Chris.
Good evening.
Do you think that the Bible tells the true believers that we will know the final timing of the destruction of this world? You know, it has been said that God has already revealed his timing of Judgment Day, and it's a possibility that we may not know, the true believers may not know the final destruction. What is your take on that?
I think God has revealed Judgment Day beginning on May 21, and we're in it. So God has followed suit, and all those verses that we used to put forth, like Amos 3:7 and Ecclesiastes 8:5-6, where the wise will know, and Daniel 12:10, the wise will know, none of the wicked will understand.
Mm-hmm.
These things were true.
Yes.
As we had advanced warning and information concerning the date of the beginning of judgment, and that was critical because that was the day that God shut the door. And so, as it was proclaimed to the world, you have up until that time. Well, that was true. You had up until that time to beseech the Lord and cry out to him. So that's why that is so critical. And the conclusion of the day of judgment, mm-hmm. the last day of this period of time when God will end the world and destroy all things, mm-hmm. is not so critical because everyone's eternal fate is already settled.
Okay.
The righteous will be righteous today or then, and the unrighteous will be unrighteous today or then, whatever day that comes. So
okay.
It's not so important, but I still think that God will probably give more information that would just follow the pattern that he has set. We entered into the Great Tribulation, and we knew we were in the Great Tribulation, but then we learned more about the length of the Great Tribulation and when it would end. And so I think probably the Lord will reveal more as we go along.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for your question. And let's go to the next person. Welcome to our Friday Night Question and Answer tonight.
Hi, Chris. Can you hear me?
Yes, very well. Please go ahead.
Genesis 3, verses 8 and 9, please.
Genesis 3, and verses 8 and 9. And they heard the voice of Jehovah God, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Jehovah God amongst the trees of the garden. And Jehovah God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?
And my question is, first of all, we notice that God is painting a picture of a very physical event of hiding physically from God, but that we also must consider that has to be a trap, because there's no way God does not know where Adam and Eve are physically. And we also know that that there's no language in the Bible that's accidental or incidental and is superfluous. So we also have to look at this verse to understand that there must be some meaning, spiritual meaning to it. And I wanted to know if you considered the idea that God is asking the question, where art thou? Because he's looking for them spiritually and he cannot find them. This would be a confirmation that in the day that you eat of the fruit that you will surely die. And they did die spiritually. And have you given thought to that? What?
Well, no, I don't think God is looking for them spiritually. He knows where they're at spiritually too. He knows they're dead, that he had already told them in the previous chapter, the day you eat thereof, you will die. And God had fully in mind they would die in their soul. So he knows that. But the question is asked, where art thou, in order to help Adam and Eve realize that they are hiding. In other words, God asks questions sometimes that he knows the answers to, but he does it. It's really a help for man. It's to let us know that there's a problem, and God's aware of this, that he realizes that they are hiding, that that open relationship has been broken. There's another verse, I can't put my finger on it, that where a question is asked like this. I remember actually coming to this verse to shed light on the other verse, but now I can't remember where it is. But I don't think at all it's God seeking them or anything like that.
Well, I would think it would be more important to say, because God gave language that said, in the day that you eat of this fruit, you will, and we know the language says die, but we also know that when it's repeated, we know that it is surely come to pass. So we know that when he said that when you eat of the fruit, you will die. And so what I was looking at this language is this would be a proof that God's word is true, that they were no longer alive spiritually. And I don't know how we can ignore it like that either, but because God is proving his word is true is what I'm saying. But okay, thank you.
All right, well, thank you for bringing up those verses, and let's go to the next person. Welcome to our question and answer tonight.
Echo 2011 asks, can you please explain what does God mean by refraining the lips is wise in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19?
Proverbs chapter 10, 19 says, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Well, this is true on a couple of levels. One, we all like someone who talks a lot. Well, normally most people do. They're friendly. They're fun to be around. They're constantly keeping you occupied. However, when someone talks a lot, it's normally because they have no they've just let their mouth run wild. They're not watching what they're thinking or the things they're saying. They might say anything. And again, you know, that a lot of times tends to be funny, and people like that. And actually today, children are encouraged. They're encouraged to say whatever pops into their head. And, you know, that's not the instruction of the Bible. God wants us to think and to carefully speak. He wants us to put a safeguard on what comes out of our mouth. And so the believer learns to do this. When we first become a believer, well, we soon learn, well, I can't curse like I used to. I can't maybe speak badly of other people like I might more easily do so. And we slowly learn to control our lips. And when there is no control placed over our lips, well, this is a true statement. In the multitude of words, there wanteth or lacketh not sin. We can be sure that many things that are being spoken, that are coming out of the mouth, although funny, humorous, entertaining, they're sinful. And so the believer becomes a little bit quieter and not as accepted as he or she may have been, and no longer becomes the life of the party, or is someone who is much more considerate in the things that they say. And so in that sense, he that refraineth his lips is wise. But more than this, spiritually, the Bible's concerned with the gospel. And the gospel is something that we must study in order to speak. We cannot, and this goes for every single one of us. It's not just teachers. Every single Christian, we should be very careful before we share things about the Bible. You know, like on some of the groups that we're involved with, like a Yahoo group or Facebook group. E-Bible has groups on Yahoo and on Facebook. And it's in many of these type groups, Bible-related groups, people just post. They post some scripture. They maybe make some comments. They come to some conclusions, and some of it sounds good. Some of it doesn't sound that good, and really it's not solidly nailed down. Ideas are presented. Other ideas are presented, and there tends to be at times a multitude of words, or actually it's better to be more careful. Of course, we can always post scripture, but to be more careful when we're commenting on scripture and saying, now this is what it means. Every one of us should carefully do that. And a good passage to help us with that is in James chapter 3. It says in verse 1, my brethren, be not many masters or teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. This, the one who speaks traditionally, historically in the congregation, the pastor, has set the course for the congregation, and sadly and tragically, when these people speak other kinds of gospels, they've set a course for destruction. And so that's why God warns, be not many teachers. And you know, today, it's not just the pastor. Today, with social media, with these groups, and everyone having their own publication, really, like their own Facebook page and other things, we all are teaching when we are presenting scriptures and commenting on them, and so we all need to be very careful, and it's better to carefully study before we speak, and to know that we've checked it out, the Bible teaches this is true, then we want to share it with everyone we can. But thank you for that verse, and we have time for one more. Let's go to the next person. Welcome to our Friday night question and answer.
Good evening. You had an earlier caller that regarding like the Church of the Saints. There's a couple of verses that might be helpful. The first one is in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18.
Colossians 1:18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And this is referring to the Lord Jesus, and he is head of the body of believers, the eternal church. And the Bible does speak of an eternal church and a corporate church, many times we can see the distinction between them or know what God is referring to. Just offhand in reading that verse in 1 Corinthians 14, it didn't just jump out at me concerning which church was in view, and that's why I'd rather study it more. But you have another verse?
Yes, Hebrews chapter 12.
And what verse?
Verses 22 and 23.
Okay. Hebrews 12:22. But you're come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Yeah, these are good verses that do show us that there is a spiritual church, an eternal church. And that's why when Jesus says about the gates of hell that will not prevail against the church, it's that eternal church that's in view. And in the corporate church, they have mixed things up and they think it applies to them. And it doesn't, and it never has. God deals with them like he dealt with Israel. They must be faithful. If they fail to be faithful, well, what happened to Israel will happen to them, and he will bring judgment upon them as he has done. But thank you for those verses, and I would like to thank everyone for sharing your questions and your comments tonight. And especially for bringing up the Bible verses we had an opportunity to read and consider. Lord willing, we'll be online again live this Sunday afternoon. This Sunday we're going to meet in person at the Delco Fellowship, but we hope to broadcast the Day in the Word there live beginning about 10:30 a.m. and going into early afternoon. So if you're available, please join us either in person or online in this room. But for now, I'm going to say good night, and may the Lord's perfect will be done.
Thank you so much for joining us during this Friday evening questions and answers time. The broadcast is heard live over the Internet beginning at approximately 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You may also join our Sunday afternoon broadcast of eBible's Questions and Answers beginning at approximately 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Until then, may the Lord grant us His wisdom, and may His perfect will be done. Have a blessed evening. Good night.